about.
And tonight, I am going to take you on a journey that you will never forget. You'd better get your ones and twos out of the way, because it is going to be a long car drive, and we are not stopping for bathroom breaks.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G.
I know some awesome cats. I am a cat fan myself. I prefer them over dogs. I like dogs, but I am more of a cat man. What do a lot of people that adopt cats, do they run into any, like, pitfalls along the way? Does a cat, like, if a cat becomes aggressive? Because there are some aggressive cats, and there are some cool, laid-back, loving cats. Do you guys run into those problems, like, with people, like, I'm a cat person myself. I love cats. I think they're so self-sufficient, and they just hang out, and they can give love. There's some feisty ones, but for the most part, they're loving animals. Would you agree?
I'm not.
When are we going to hold these people accountable? When?
Our feature presentation.
That was the longest question ever asked.
That was longer than the Dodgers game.
Would you agree?
That's oh, awesome. My gosh.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday, the 26th of October. I'd like to start with some Mugs audio, if you don't mind.
I would love that.
So, game one, he was going to try and get tickets and couldn't.
Sure.
So, he went to a bar. Mm-hmm. And we said, hey, Muggs, while you're at a bar, why don't you get some interviews with some Dodger fans and just, you know, try to capture the excitement?
Yeah.
And find out how they're feeling about the series and everything else. So Muggs went to a sports bar, and during the game, he recorded 45 minutes of audio.
Oh, awesome.
And he sent it all to Omar, and Omar's like, wow, we have a lot of stuff to go through.
So much to choose from.
Right. 43 minutes of the 45-minute tape was this.
Everybody's mouth. 43 minutes of it.
Yes, it's just like he set his phone down recording.
No.
And just walked away and was wandering around and talking to people about random stuff. And that's...
No.
Yes.
I think maybe it's just a little bit of atmosphere that he can play underneath the sound bites he got.
Oh, I see. For 43 of the 45
no,
minutes?
No, that doesn't add up.
Because Omar was going through and he's like, so then I would skip forward, you know.
Thinking they're going to talk.
Right. And nothing. Same exact sound. And then I go, you know, 10 minutes into it thinking, still this. Still this. What the hell is, that's Muggs being Muggs.
Did he just forget?
I mean, how do you tell? How do you tell if it's Muggs? He did get one interview.
Oh.
One.
Okay. Well, was it so good that it made up for the 43 minutes?
Yes.
Oh, what?
It's really exciting.
I was not expecting that.
The insight that this guy has into the Dodgers.
Excellent.
And especially their matchup with the Astros. I mean, he really breaks it down, and I thought this was worth the trip of Muggs going to the sports bar to get this interview.
Jimmy, what year do you think Kevin and Bean started?
That's like the lead up to the Dodgers talk.
I mean, that was his first question.
Uh-huh. Okay. Just setting the tone.
Right.
Okay.
Why, though?
Nope.
Why is that setting the tone? If you're talking about the Dodgers, what possible difference could it make when we started?
It doesn't.
At all.
Yeah.
Zero.
No. Okay. Yeah.
So then.
1988.
What if I told you they started in December of 1990?
Okay. Now, I'd just like to point out both of them wrong. Drunk guy wrong?
Uh-huh.
Drunk Muggs wrong.
Okay.
Neither of them were correct.
All right.
Now again, though, why are we talking about topic instead of talking about the Dodgers?
I'd say no, because they went on their summer vacation in 1989.
Okay, so that we did a summer vacation that we aired, and that was, I don't know, 92.
Okay.
So he was off on that.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy, how much?
And they saw the big barn.
Okay, we saw the world's largest ball of twine.
He was getting there.
Is what that meant when he said the ball of yarn. Which, by the way, there's no difference.
Sure.
Why did we stop for that?
And statues on the way on their summer vacation. And they had a, not a good, I guess they had a good time.
Okay, so now Mug says, all right, enough of that.
Yeah.
Let's go to Dodger talk.
Sure.
Because we need some insight.
They're getting to know each other.
Before you say one more word, how much money do you want to bet that you're wrong about the year Kevin and Bean started?
I'm not wrong. And I have not been.
Woo! That was great.
What do you mean that was great? Like, that's not the end.
Well, I mean, he was very excited about that part of the interview so far.
Okay.
That first part of it was great.
Mm-hmm.
Now.
Right.
This is where he turns to
Dodger. Hard-hitting.
Right.
Not wrong. That is radio material.
Poor man was good.
Listen. Richard Blade was in 1989, bud.
No, he was not.
All right, so they continue this conversation. And I'm not positive why. And then...
But hey, Jimmy, I love you. Hold on.
That's Bugs drunk.
Yeah, they're hugging.
I love you.
Sure.
I love you. Jimmy, I love you. Not talking at all about Dodgers.
Mm-mm.
By the way, that's the end of the interview.
No.
Yeah, there's no... They didn't then go on and say, who do you think's going to win?
No.
How long have you been a fan?
No.
What do you think about the pitching matchups?
Just some bad Mark's Kevin and Bean facts.
Right, that was it.
That was it.
That was the end of that interview. Now, Muggs.
Yeah.
First of all, why 43 minutes of just ambience? Did you forget about your recording device? Was it your phone?
It was my phone.
Did you forget about it? Did you forget what you were supposed to be?
Yeah, I might have gotten a little sidetracked.
By beer?
By beer, mm-hmm. The Dodger game.
Mm-hmm. Well, you weren't sidetracked by the Dodger game because you weren't talking about it at all. I would have thought maybe, hey, ask him a question. How long have you been a fan? That's an easy one.
I might have asked that off mic.
Oh, good. Okay.
But that's the best way to do it, though. Because,
that's best for radio
interviews.
Right,
because then we can't play it.
Yeah.
So that's good. So then we got this. We did get that. That came through. And I'm not positive what that was.
Do you remember Jimmy?
I do remember Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
Good man.
Okay. You told him that you loved him.
I do.
You do love him.
Mm-hmm. He holds a special place in my heart.
Okay. Did you guys hug at that point? Because I felt like I was listening to a hug.
The whole time we were hugging.
Oh.
Oh, that's sweet.
The whole time just I was talking to him. An embrace, nice. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. And then we got...
It's cool to be a baseball fan and have your team in the World Series.
Okay, there's the Dodger talk.
There you go, baseball talk.
We actually got a little Dodger... It's cool to be a baseball fan.
Not a Dodgers fan.
And... Have your team in the World Series.
Okay, I mean, so you could be an Astros fan.
No.
I mean, but that is...
We don't know.
That's a tough statement to argue with because it's so generic.
It's cool to be a baseball fan and have your team in the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
I was speaking for all baseball fans.
Okay, but could you speak as a Dodgers fan getting Dodgers talk?
Sure.
Didn't we send you to that bar to get audio about specifically... The Dodgers.
Yeah, you did.
And how did that go?
Not well.
And then there were about, we're near the end of his file that he recorded.
Mm-hmm.
And the last 2 or 3 minutes is this.
Well, if Omar ever needs like sound effects for
right.
a bar.
Right.
You know, for like a voice fit.
Uh-huh.
Nailed it.
Boom.
Right. Mm-hmm. Did we send you out to get that?
Not so much,
no.
but.
Well, job well done. You keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
I didn't think this could get any worse, but apparently it knows no bottom.
On the show today, we're going to talk to Jim Rome like we do on Thursdays.
Yeah.
I assume there will be some Dodger talk.
I assume he's going to have a lot of Dodger talk.
I got to tell you, what an exciting game.
Right?
That was an amazing game.
Yeah. 11 innings, up, down, highs, lows.
Crazy comebacks, everything. Yeah. That game had everything.
It really did.
Wish they were all like that. Stanley's LA Comic-Con, we've got your tickets for that.
Mm-hmm.
We have Tobin Bell in studio.
What's he from,
You Kevin? Know him from Jigsaw?
Jigsaw, what's that sound like?
Do you want to play a game?
That's my impression.
Okay,
It's like Grover Jigsaw and a little Yoda had a baby.
We're going to talk to Sean Avery, who is maybe the most hated man in hockey.
He's a dick.
Yeah. He's written a book called Icecapades. See? We got your tickets for Linkin Park and Friends as well today. And I don't know if you saw Vin Scully chickening out on the first pitch.
I don't believe. Is that what we're calling it?
I mean, that's what I'm calling it.
I call it bringing up legends and letting them shine. Like,
I mean, he did
always
bring out
does.
Fernando Valenzuela. That happened.
And Steve Yeager.
Sure, both. He brought them out.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was pretty magical, actually.
Yeah, he's 89. He wasn't going to pitch.
Who knows? He can do everything else.
You're right.
I wouldn't have been surprised if he then took batting practice and hit a home run. That would have been the best. So that's coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beatnik. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53. Mr. Ralph Garman is here now for a look at the Showbiz Beat.
Time for Ragnarok. Thor Ragnarok.
Yay.
It's coming to theaters everywhere on November the 3rd. But you, sweet early listeners, people have to get their asses out of bed at the ridiculous time of morning we're all awake. I'm going to give you something a little special. I got passes to give away to the IMAX 3D advanced screening of Thor Ragnarok that is happening at IMAX headquarters. Where do you think the best technology to watch an IMAX movie would be? Well, it's in their damn headquarters. It's where they work. And you get to see it there on October 30th. Of course, Chris Hemsworth returns as Thor. Tom Hiddleston is Loki. Cate Blanchett is the new villain, Hela. Hulk stops by, too. So you see Mark Ruffalo in there. All good stuff. Critics are raving about this film. They're saying it's terrific and very funny, surprisingly.
Can't wait.
You don't think funny in Thor a lot, but
no.
It's a smart move on their part. Here you go. If you want to go see the movie, give me
call
a call
now.
Right now.
1-800-520-1067. I love you.
1-800-520-1067 is that number.
And Ralph loves you.
First five callers through that number will get a pair of passes. See Thor Ragnarok. It is that time. Getting close to the end. Halloween costumes. Tick, 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 tick. Do you have your Halloween costume? Well, according to Teen Vogue, these are the top 10 most Googled Halloween costumes for teen girls this year. Number 10, a dinosaur. Oh, sure. Teen girls love their dinosaurs. Mm.
Sure.
What girl doesn't want to be a velociraptor? They go around spitting venom at people. Zombie, Natch, always popular. 8, pirate. Oh, yeah, sure.
Of course.
7, mouse. A lot of girls go the mouse route. Never really understood the girl mouse.
Mouse.
Oh, yeah. Mouse, very popular
costume
for girls.
I guess with a little makeup on there. Ah, I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah. What were you thinking before? They actually were
mice? No, I didn't know
mice?
If they were going like Mickey Mouse or something. I didn't know, but yeah. I got you.
Witch. Right? Classic. Uh-huh. 5, rabbit. Equally cute. 4, unicorn.
Ah, oh, nice.
3, clown.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Right?
Clown porn. Right? That's what we're all thinking.
Nope. That's not one anyone was thinking.
And the top 2 are very specific. Harley Quinn, still very popular with teen girls at number 2. And number 1, can you imagine? Most Googled Halloween costume for teen girls this year, according to Teen Vogue.
Teen girls. It's not Pennywise, is it?
No.
Okay.
God, I hope it's not what I'm thinking.
Kim Kardashian?
I'm thinking a Kardashian. No.
Oh.
No. Potted plant? No, I was thinking a Kardashian.
Come on, people now. Use your brains.
Okay.
2017.
Right.
Young women.
Women.
The superhero.
Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman.
Oh,
exactly.
Sure.
Right,
yes,
of course.
Wonder Woman. Yes.
Oh, well, thank God, teens.
Right? Strong, yes. Positive female role model, Wonder Woman. That's her theme.
Oh.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Is it?
It is.
What's the rest? Just so I can kind of...
Man, that's a terrible
theme.
I don't
recognize
know,
that.
You don't know, man. No, that's the TV show Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman.
Talking about the movie Wonder Woman.
Oh.
Man, that's a painful sound. I guess that would stop somehow.
You don't know, man. Hey, congratulations to Jeff Glore, right?
Right, Jeff?
Jeff Glor Kevin, of course, is?
The founder of Penthouse.
No, Jeff Glor is the new anchor for the CBS Evening News.
Okay.
Jeff Glor.
Yeah.
He's replacing Scott Pelley. You know, Bean's very upset. Scott Pelley is Bean's favorite TV news anchor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does have a lot of feelings about that.
He has a lot of Scott Pelley feelings.
Me?
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
So I don't know who that is, and
who's
I don't care.
Jeff Glor?
He is a reporter and correspondent for the network,
mm-hmm.
as well as the anchor for Boston's WHDH-TV.
Oh, great station.
He is a dick.
Is he?
No.
Oh.
I heard he is a farter, though. And a racist.
He's the man who invented Booyah.
I don't think he invented Booyah. I'm pretty sure. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Hillary Clinton. 70 years old today.
Loser.
Right? Sit down. Dylan McDermott, 56 years old. Carrie Elwes. From?
Princess Bride.
Right.
Nice.
But more importantly, germane to today's show on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Princess Bride.
All right. Saw. He was in the first Saw. In the first Saw movie, which featured Jigsaw.
It's been a while.
What's he sound like?
Come on.
Played by Tobin Bell, who we'll talk to later today.
Right.
About his movie Jigsaw.
Right.
Who sounds like...
I mean, Ralph's the voice guy. I'd rather
sounds
have Ralph.
Like...
I want you to do it.
Would you like to play a game?
Little
now,
Elmo-ish.
Now say cookie. Now say cookie. Cookie. I just want to hear if there's a difference between his two voices.
chocolate chip.
Tom Cavanaugh. Love me, Tom Cavanaugh.
Same.
And he ran backwards.
Of course. And also, The Flash plays so many characters, like eight different characters on The Flash on CW. He's 54. My boss, Seth MacFarlane, celebrates his birthday today. He's 44 years old today. John Heder. Remember him from one of your favorite movies of all time, Allie.
That movie blows, and if
Napoleon
you're all honest
Dynamite.
With each other,
Napoleon
you will
Dynamite.
Agree. Movie blows.
Tina, come get some ham.
Come on, just for that line
come
alone.
Come on.
No. Dumb.
I have ninja skills. Come on.
No.
Oh, you don't get it.
You man. Don't get it.
And CM Punk celebrates his 39th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thanks, Ralph. Yesterday morning, we world premiered a brand new song from Franz Ferdinand, who is playing the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
I'm
Almost
sorry?
Acoustic Christmas.
Yeah.
And the name of the song is Always Ascending, and we're going to play it for you next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Your chance to win tickets for Linkin Park and Friends. Celebrate life in honor of Chester Bennington. That is at the Hollywood Bowl tomorrow night is coming up on The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:23. Allie, how excited were you to see Vin Scully walk out on the field before the game last night?
So excited. He's so delightful. And he just makes my heart so happy.
He is some... There are very few people who everyone loves.
Mm-hmm.
Very few. He seems to be one of them.
Yeah. I think if you don't love him, you really need to take a look inward and find out what's wrong.
So why did he then check it out when he was throwing the first
How
pitch?
How dare you?
Why did he go, hey, I can't do it. Let me bring in someone else.
He didn't chicken out,
He
Kevin.
Chickened out.
What happened
His nerves
was
got the best of him and it- he froze. He froze.
That's not what happened.
I think so.
It was pretty much like, you can call it a bit, whatever you want to call it, but it was the greatest ceremonial first pitch ever, in my opinion.
And that's saying something.
It was lovely to see.
Here it is. This is Vin Scully walking out and the fans realizing what's happening.
Gosh. It's a long walk to the mound. You know what I'm thinking right now? Somewhere up in heaven, Duke Snyder, Jackie Robinson, Roy Campanella, and Gil Hodges are laughing their heads off. Look who's throwing out the first ball at the World Series. All right, Scully. You're in front of this big crowd. There's a lot of pressure.
See, this is where he starts. It starts to get to
right,
him.
Right, right.
You've been practicing for a week. Don't mess up. Oh, I need a catcher. No, a catcher. I don't need a Scully.
I mean, that was pretty cool when the entire crowd started chanting his name.
Unbelievable. And mind you, he's up there in, of course, his suit.
Sure.
He's got a mic in one hand. He's got a baseball in the other hand. I'm thinking, what is he passing the mic up? What is happening?
I need a catcher. Is there a catcher anywhere around here? Steve caught for 14 years with the Dodgers. It must be terrifying for you to look out here and see me.
See, now I feel like he's stalling.
Come on.
Because he's nervous.
He's letting people just feel the whole situation, seeing Steve Yeager, who, by the way, is aging gracefully.
Is it possible that I'm missing the point of this?
I believe you are.
Okay.
I must warn you, I worked all week playing catch with my wife. And she said that I had good stuff. My problem, Steve, is my fastball is the same as my changeup. So I hope that doesn't confuse you, okay? So we're ready? You ready? Okay. Here comes number one.
He's ready to throw out the first pitch.
He's doing a little windup.
And then he gets stuck. His shoulder hurts and he can't throw the ball.
Because he's starting to do the windup and then he realizes, uh-oh, rotator cuff.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, my gosh. I think I hurt my rotator cuff. I can't do it. I'm really sorry. But like all the managers in this game, I'm going to have to go to the bullpen. I need a left-hander to come out here and help me.
All right, Allie, your first thought was?
My first thought, and I screamed it in my house, I yelled, Fernando!
Is there a left-hander down here? Oh, my gosh! Fernando Valenzuela! Can you imagine? One year, he had 8 shutouts. Another year, when he won 21 games, he had 20 complete games. I feel like I'm almost defiling the mound. I'm going to get out of the way. Fernando, see if you can get one over for me. Thank you. So, okay, I'm off the hook. Now, before I leave, and you're probably in a hurry to get me out of here, and I'm all for it, there is one thing you and I always did every day before every game. So I'm going to ask you to do it on 3 so they can hear it all the way to Houston. 1, 2, 3, it's time for Dodger baseball! Good night, love you!
I mean, come on.
I mean.
What a crazy good professional.
Unbelievable. 89 years old.
Right.
Out there just winging it, having a great time. A lot of people were like, Allie, really? You thought Fernando first? Not Sandy Koufax? I don't know if that's just like a generational thing or a because I'm a Mexican from L.A. thing.
I'm sorry, are you Mexican?
Ish. But I immediately was like, Fernando! Which, by the way, was the name of my first Cabbage Patch Kid. I got him because his name was Fernando. That's how much I loved Fernando Valenzuela growing up.
Okay.
His head smelled like powder. Am I off?
It's about that time. Chip, what did you go as Halloween? You were awesome.
I'm dressing as Chucky for Halloween.
Chucky, so good.
Mm-hmm.
So good. She did that on stage with her band as well. Everybody's trying to figure it out right now. And what should you go as? What's a great Halloween costume to go as?
Yeah. Do you want to be comfy? Do you want to look hot? Do you want to just go as the most popular thing? A lot of options out there.
Sure. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of Trumps.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure there's going to be a lot of Hillarys, I assume.
Yeah, a lot of sexy Pennywise.
Sure, sexy Pennywise as well. We have a spokesman on the line who's going to give us some help. This is the owner of Costume City, Jean-Luc Monet.
Oh.
Good morning, Jean.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I am fabulous.
That's good to hear. We're talking Halloween costumes.
Oh, Halloween costumes are so difficult.
You must
come up with something.
You must be very, very busy right now.
We're very busy here at Costume City. Many people wait for last minute to come in. And to them, I say, I spit on you. You should have been here August.
What? Oh, August?
That's planning.
The people who care about their fashion and about their good costume come early in the year and they plan ahead accordingly.
I feel like you could do a lot of business between now and Halloween. Why would you turn your back on that?
Not turning back.
Okay.
It's just so busy makes my balls cramp.
Okay. Oh. I didn't know that was possible, but okay.
You've never been as busy as me.
That's true.
What are you seeing a lot of people coming in and just kind of grabbing last minute?
So many people are boring and have bad idea.
Yeah. Like what?
Oh, same thing over and over again. Oh, I'm Wonder Woman. Hello, I'm Wonder Woman. I wonder. Oh, I'm wondering.
That's not what Wonder Woman is.
So confused, this woman. She's always, wow, what's going on? I wonder where I am. I wonder what's happening. That's... Why do they want to be so dumb girl?
She's a superhero.
Yeah, you might want to do some
dumb
research on that one.
Also, The Handmaid's Tale. This show, Handmaid's Tale, which no one watches but wins all the awards.
That's true. That is odd.
Why you want to go and be weird nun lady red dress? Don't be that lady.
I feel like it's just super comfortable and probably easy.
Be better lady.
Okay.
Is what I'm saying.
All right.
Oh, and so many Kardashian. Oh, I'm going to be a Kardashian this year. I'm going to have Kardashian.
Right.
Very difficult costume to pull off.
How do you do that?
Because you have to go around all night long and have a black man impregnating you, a whole party.
Oh.
Wow, I didn't realize that was part of the costume.
Very difficult to find the second part of the costume.
Okay.
I recommend be different this year. Be special. Be stand out.
Okay, yeah. Like what?
The best thing to do is go as couples.
Mm-hmm.
Team up with someone to make interesting costumes.
Okay.
For example, a couple, man, woman, one can be Harvey Weinstein, the other one could be a potted plant.
Oh, nope. I don't think that's good.
There also Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Mm-hmm. Two people get in one dress and they could be Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Oh, Jean-Luc.
Or if you want to even be more politics, you can one be Donald Trump.
Uh-huh.
And the other one be a roll of paper towels and he can throw you at Puerto Ricans all night. Happy Halloween.
Coming up in the next hour, Linkin Park and Friends celebrate life and honor of Chester Bennington. We're going to give you those tickets. It's tomorrow night at the Hollywood Bowl. So that's coming up in about a half hour. Right now, Ralph is here for a look at the Showbiz Beat.
Why are you making that painful noise?
Because last hour I was telling you what the Wonder Woman theme was, and everyone's like, oh, that's a noise. What's that theme? It's like, that's the Wonder Woman theme.
I don't feel like it was.
Oh, well, then that's why I brought this in.
All right. Hey, now this sounds good.
Right.
Well, what you did... Not as good.
You don't know, man.
I know.
It's Wonder Woman.
Little Immigrant Song-ish. No?
Why do you have to
do
get
it again.
Political?
Do it again.
Why does it have to be at the immigrants? Why do you have
it's
to get
Led
political?
Zeppelin song. Do it again. Do it again.
Come from the land of the ice and snow. Where...
Right? A little bit?
You don't know, man.
All right.
It is a cavalcade of sexual harassment charges. The dam has broken, and now we're living in a flood of grossness. Now, former President Herbert Walker Bush has been accused of sexual harassment by an actress named Heather Lind, who said the 93-year-old former president grabbed her butt during a photo op in March of 2014. He also made an inappropriate joke to her. This is all according to Deadspin.com. Bush grabbed her butt and then also said that his favorite magician was David Copperfield.
Oh, Grandpa.
Right?
Really?
That's That's gross.
Are you serious?
A second actress named Jordan Grolnick has stepped forward saying a similar thing happened to her. Whatever happened to not gonna do it? Whatever happened to that guy? Mm. Now he's like, I'm gonna do it. Just grabbing butts. Mm. Ugh. Something even creepier when it's like an old dude in a wheelchair.
He was in a wheelchair.
He was a wheelchair.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Sad on so many other levels.
Oh, man.
Speaking of sad, Spencer Pratt is sad.
Good.
Oh, come on, Kevin.
Right?
Spidey.
Yeah.
He's grieving the loss of a friend.
Oh.
He said one of the local hummingbirds outside his home has passed away.
I'm sorry.
He says he loves to hang out with all the local hummingbirds, and one of the tiny green ones has passed away. He blames the unseasonable heat here in Los Angeles right now. Mm-hmm. So he gave the little hummingbird a proper burial and said he was very, very upset by the loss.
It's actual audio. Spencer.
Sorry, Spencer.
Sorry about the hummingbird.
Hummingbird is one.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Spencer.
I mean, it was a hummingbird.
Out of curiosity, are hummingbirds just dying because of the heat?
Birds
is that
are dying.
Just that's something
birds are
I'm
dying.
Not aware of?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know how hummingbirds work. If you're a hummingbird expert, give us a call right now. 1-800-520-1067.
I don't think we
it's
need
it's time for hummingbird talk.
I don't think we need
it.
Get out your feeders and your sugar water and let's talk hum. Hum talk.
Let's not do that.
Come on. 1-800-520-1067. If you know
or
about
we'll take
hummingbirds.
One call.
If you know about the living conditions of hummingbirds and how they thrive, please give us a call. If you're an ornithologist.
We may be getting off topic here.
It's ornithology talk here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Will and Grace star Sean Hayes had a terrifying incident recently.
Hmm.
I didn't even know this could happen. He said he's sitting at home, felt excruciating pain in his abdomen. Mm. So he goes to the emergency room, and doctors discover his small intestine had burst and was poisoning his body.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
How can that even happen?
I've never heard of that.
You can't just have your intestines burst, can you? Unless there's like an alien living inside you and you bust out of your chest and crawls onto somebody's face or something, right?
I mean, that's a movie.
Oh. They said they were able to cut out the bad part and then reattach it. And he's all better. But still, that's a terrifying prospect. You're sitting home watching TV and suddenly your intestine bursts?
That's incredible.
I don't want that from anybody.
Incredibly bad.
Yeah. Do we have, is that hummingbird talk? We have hummingbird?
I don't know. We don't have them on hold yet. So you can go with another story.
I want hummingbird information.
I know you do, but
I love hummingbirds.
I would love it, too.
One of my favorite animals.
I'd like to get another story in first.
It looks like Paul Walker's daughter, Meadow, has settled her wrongful death lawsuit with Porsche. You may remember that Paul was a passenger in a 2005 Porsche Carrera GT. It was driven by his business partner, who was also killed in the crash. They were going over 100 miles an hour when they lost control. And now Paul Walker's daughter, Meadow, claimed in her lawsuit that the Porsche lacked safety features that could have prevented the accident, or at a minimum, allowed Paul Walker to survive the crash. No details about the monetary settlement were given. She previously reached a $10 million settlement with Roger Rodas, that business partner who was driving his estate, for his share of responsibility in the crash. So no word what Porsche's part in the lawsuit has been, but they're assuming it's a multi-million dollar settlement, even though no one's talking. But hopefully that brings that family some peace and they can move on. It's hard.
Yep.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Nobody knows anything about hummingbirds.
Thank God.
Oh,
you people
are the worst. Our listeners are the worst.
Our listeners are the best.
Why don't we have any ornithologists up at this time of the morning?
Thank you, listeners, for not calling. You're the best.
Hillary Clinton's 70 years old today as we look at today's celebrity birthdays. Dylan McDermott's 56. Carrie Elwes is 55 years old today. Tom Cavanaugh. Love him. Over there on The Flash on CW, he is 54 years old. Actor, writer, director, all-around good guy, Seth MacFarlane celebrates his 44th birthday. John Heder is 40. And UFC fighter CM Punk celebrates his 39th. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Are all baseball games as good as last night?
Not all.
That was an amazing game.
But, yeah, that was incredible. 11 innings.
Unfortunately, the Dodgers lost, so it's 1-1, and they're going back to Houston. But last night was unbelievable. Here are some highlights from that game.
Here's Bregman. First and third, one out, and that's into left center field. It will get down. One run scores. The ball caroms right to Peterson, and it's 1-0 Houston. High fly ball into right. Reddick back at the wall. Tugging. Now here in the bottom half, two out, nobody on for Peterson. Fly ball into left. Back at the wall. It is gone. Seager. Dodgers lead 3-1. Salas hits one in the air into left center field. Back at the wall and is gone. Tie game in the ninth. Marwin Gonzalez. 3-3. 10th inning. Altuve into left center field. Back at the wall and is gone. Jose Altuve has put Houston on top. 4-3 here in the 10th. Here's one into left center field off the bat of Correa. Altuve and Correa go back to back. And it's 5-3 here in the 10th inning with Houston on top. Puig hits one, a ton to left. It's a one-run game. And it's 5-4. That gets away, and the tying run down to second on a wild pitch. Base hit right field. Here comes Forsythe. Throw by Reddick. He's not in time. Tie game. To Springer. That's into right center field. Well hit. Won't be caught. It is gone for a home run. And the Astros are back on top by two. So they need a base runner. And here's a high fly ball into left. Back at the wall. It is gone. 7-6. What a game. What a battle here. Another 3-2 pitch. Stuck him out. And the Astros win it. 7-6. A final in 11 innings in a game that lasted over 4 hours. And this series is tied at a game apiece going back to Houston.
All right, so it wasn't necessarily the ending that everybody wanted, but what a great battle. And
yeah,
you really want to see what your team is made of when they're behind.
Mm-hmm.
And the Dodgers played fantastic when they were behind. I mean, they were behind at the end. That's not good, but they played well.
Listen to you.
I know.
Loving this game.
I mean, there's so much in it. There were so many home runs.
Yeah.
It was such a great game.
Yeah.
And you know who one of the main players was? Our friend Yasiel Puig. And we've got him on the phone. Hey, Yasiel.
Yasiel Puig.
Oh. Yasiel. Are you still upset about striking out to end the game?
I try so hard. I do everything I can. I try home run.
You hit home
make play. Right. And outfield. I run so fast. Uh-huh. I can't catch the ball.
You tried
I
to catch.
I feel so bad.
Yeah.
I feel so bad. I feel like we could have won if we play better baseball.
No, you hit a leadoff home run in the 10th inning, and that ball you missed in the outfield went out of play. It could have been much worse.
I want to have sex with you, Ali.
Oh, you feel better. That is something I would be willing to do for the team.
I really need a vagina to lean on.
I mean, okay.
I mean, as disappointing as last night was, it still is 1-1 in the series.
Now we have to fly
on
an airplane.
You have to go to Houston.
To Texas and play baseball again.
Right.
I'm going to try to do everything I can to get my spirit up and help the spirit of the rest of Los Angeles Dodgers. Yasiel Puig.
Oh, Yasiel, you just sound so dejected.
I hate to hear you so sad.
It's okay. I mean, life is for the living. I'm going to take a poo in all of the shoes of the Houston Astros.
Okay. I mean, that's an option.
It's not an option. It's mandatory.
I think that's a great idea.
Make fun of me with their tongue and their shaky, shaky, the leggy, leggy.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they're making fun of Yasiel Puig. Well, I have friends in high places, like within Dodger and Astro organization.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take all their shoes. Okay. I'm all going to eat a lot of fiber.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do out of my booty into their shoe.
Okay.
And then they go to wear their shoe and they be like, hey, someone did poo-poo in my shoe. And they'll probably know. Yasiel Puig, that's a powerful poo-poo. straight from Cuba. Come on. Okay.
That's a lot of shoes. I mean, are you stocking up?
Sorry. I'm a big man. I'm a big guy.
You are a big guy.
I need a lot of fiber.
Okay.
I can do a lot of poo-poo. I don't want to get into too much detail.
Right, I'd rather you didn't as well.
Big, powerful man from Cienfuegos, Cuba. Do a lot of poo-poo. Yasiel Puig. Yasiel Puig.
Okay, getting a little better.
Now, Yasiel, did you notice when they were doing the whole bat flip and pretending to lick the bat? Did you notice then, or did somebody say, Yasiel, they're making fun of you?
Dave Roberts showed me. He pulled me over and said, Yasiel Puig, come here. I am your coach. I have to talk to you. We have a lot of things to go over. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to say, hey, let's talk about baseball. Let's talk about pitch count. Let's talk about how the strike zone of different umpires. He said, look over there. You see the player? They're making fun of you. It's time for you to unleash the beast. It's like Cloverfield. You see the movie Cloverfield?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
Excuse me, I had something in my throat. In Cloverfield, there is a satellite far away from space, and it hit the ocean and goes deep in the ocean, and there was a beast sleeping peacefully. And he said, leave me alone forever, I live under the ocean. Mm-hmm. But no, they had to unearth the Cloverfield. He come out, rawr, and he hit everybody and smashed the big building. And that's what Dave Roberts doing. He said, deep inside you, Yasiel Puig, is like Cloverfield. Mm-hmm. It's like Cloverfield, and you have to bring him out to do the damage. Yasiel Puig.
Okay, how are you going to do that?
How are you going to do that when you play, when is it, Friday night? Tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm. Well, first, I go over to Ali's house.
Okay.
I get a pair of handcuffs, and I handcuff her to the bedpost. Mm. And then I say, have you been naughty, girl? And she said, yes. I've been very bad, Yasiel Puig. And I dress up like a policeman. And I said, Officer Puig is here to give you his nightstick. And then Ralph Garman come with me.
Wait, what?
Ralph Garman come with me. Yeah.
What?
I call him Ralph Garman. He get inside Yasiel Puig police car. Yasiel Puig, my police car. And next thing you know, I'm there with Ralph Garman and Andrew Siciliano.
Wait. This took a real turn.
I mean, she didn't agree to three people. It was just you.
She sure did. I say, Ali, when Yasiel Puig come over for lovemaking, you get airtight.
No, oh, come on. Oh, yes.
That means no home.
We gotta go.
We know what that means.
Take Ralph.
All right. Good luck. Okay.
All right.
We high five each other while we do it.
Good luck tomorrow. You see.
This is pretty sweet. You guys
have a good game.
You ready to rotate? And they say,
You see. All right. Thank you, you see. We gotta go.
But instead, I just said,
all right. We gotta go.
Okay. Thank you for the call.
I mean.
But it's for the team.
How dare
Lincoln Park and friends celebrate life in honor of Chester Bennington. We're going to play Title Fight. If you would like to win those tickets, you can call K-Rock now, 1-800-520-1067. We will take your calls and we'll play the game now. Just after 8, we're going to talk to Jim Rome about sports, about Dodgers, about Lakers, and about a lot of other things. But right now we've got tickets for Lincoln Park and friends celebrate life in honor of Chester Bennington at the Hollywood Bowl. This is tomorrow night, and we're going to do it with the Title Fight. So basically, Dave the King of Mexico and Allie have a list of song titles from Linkin Park. They have not looked at it yet, and they can't look at it until we start. And then as soon as we start, they have to give you clues, and you have to tell them what the name of the Linkin Park song is. The key is they can't use any of the words in the name, so they're going to use other clues to try and get you to say titles of Linkin Park songs, and it's the Title Fight.
Presenting Kevin and Bean's Title Fight. Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to go to a concert.
Kevin, I got to get back on the. I got to get back on track, man.
Back on track?
Yeah, I got my first loss last time.
What are you talking about? I think Allie's beat you every time we've had this contest.
No. Officially, I got my first loss. That's one where I say.
No.
Officially. Not like.
So you're just saying you think you lost.
Yeah.
Because all the rest of us thought you lost every other time.
The last time, I let the contestant down. So I'm going to get back on my horse, and we're going to destroy this.
Let's talk to Eddie and see.
On your horse, not the horse.
Let's talk to Eddie and see if he wants to ride on your horse. Hey, Eddie at East Los. Hi.
Hi, good morning.
All right, you're the first person we go to, so you get to pick who gives you the clues.
All right. You know what? Let's go with Dave.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, that's a choice. All right. We're going to have a 45-second clock. As soon as it starts,
right,
he's going to start giving you clues. If you're stuck on one, you can pass and go back to it after you've gotten other ones, okay?
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
And go.
All right. Babies do this when before.
Crawling.
All right. Not the beginning, but
in the end.
All right. If you pass out, what is it called?
Faint.
All right. If you cut yourself, what do you do?
Bleed it out.
All right. It's like math, but it's not.
New device.
Boom. What wow. is happening?
Hold on. Listen.
Wow.
I'm not even going to do it.
Come on!
We have another 20 seconds left.
Wow. Dave.
Eddie.
I'm not going to lie.
What's
that
up?
That was impressive.
First of all, Eddie's a great contestant.
East Los Connection right here.
Second of all, I know for a fact now that Dave cheated last night and went through songs and came up with clues.
You're crazy.
Because he's never that good.
He really isn't.
He's never that good.
I forgot we were doing this today.
I
was concerned with the dog.
Dave's writing notes and giving him. I think Dave cheated, but
what's the difference? I went first, so it's a lot.
Oh, sure,
it's a lot
that's
easier,
it.
A lot less pressure when you're first.
Right. So. All right. Let's go to Jason in Los Angeles. Hi, Jason.
East Los.
Yeah. More East Los in the house. Damn, this is tough.
All right. You've got Allie giving you clues. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Remember, you can pass if you need to. Ready? Go.
You get this on your finger when you're shuffling through stuff on your desk, and it's. I'm sorry?
No.
No. Yes.
Yes.
It's below the number two.
One more light.
No, but yes. With
one
the first.
Step closer.
Yes. When you go to the dentist, they do this to your teeth first.
Numb.
Yes. When your house catches fire, it. A fire and it.
Burn it down.
Yes. This is a reflection on the ground of your body. When the sun hits it, it's a.
Shadow of the day.
Yes!
Ooh. Look at that! With that much time to spare.
I mean, it wasn't as fast as Eddie, but.
It wasn't, but.
All right.
That was five.
Okay, wait. How do you do the tiebreaker?
So now the tiebreaker is Dave has one and Allie has one, and we go for time. Whoever gets it the quickest.
Okay.
So there's two more songs that we haven't used yet. And we're going to go back to Eddie in East Los with Dave. And we're going to start the clock again. And then this is for time, so you have to get it as fast as you can, Eddie. You ready?
Okay, ready.
Here we go.
Oh, crap. Wrong bump paper. Shoot. All right. When you are included in something...
Somewhere I belong.
Boom.
Unbelievable.
Wow. Eddie, you rule.
Eddie is so good.
Well, how long was that?
That was 11 and a half seconds.
Okay.
And by the way, six of that was Dave undoing the paper.
It was the wrong paper.
Nicely done, Eddie. All
See,
right.
I just grabbed the one that says tiebreaker on the front.
Yeah, because you're a cheater.
This is a tough it's a tough contest so far.
Yeah.
All right,
Jason. No pressure, Jason.
Jason with Allie. Are you
you're
ready?
You're going to let East Los down, but no pressure.
Hey, Dave, don't taunt. She wasn't doing that to your guy. Take it easy.
Hey, come on, man. Whoa, I'm shaking here.
Right? Okay.
I got to poop, Jason. You ready?
All right, ready, go.
All right, you have a vase and you throw it to the ground. It's.
Smoke.
Yes!
Six and a half seconds. Are
suck
you kidding
it, Dave!
Me?
Suck it, Dave!
Suck it!
Jason, congratulations. You won the tickets for tomorrow night's Linkin Park and Friends. And thanks for playing the game.
Thanks for playing Kevin and Bean's Title Fight.
Oh, yeah! We have Jim Rome talking sports at the top of the hour, and Tobin Bell joins us from Jigsaw in the next hour. Jolly loves Dave, the King of Mexico is scared to death of, and that movie scarred Christine, so I can't wait to get into all of that. Right now, former hockey player Sean Avery is on the phone. He's written a new book called Icecapades, a memoir of fast living and tough hockey. Sean, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. It says at the beginning of the paperwork that they've given me that you are one of NHL's most polarizing players. Would you summarize that as well?
I mean, that's a nice way of putting it,
right?
I think.
What percentage would you say liked you versus hated you?
I mean, I think the only people that liked me were the fans of New York. I think that New York Ranger fans were the only ones that enjoyed my antics, with the exception of a few teammates along the way. And everyone else pretty much got in line to try and kill me.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. I grew up in a hockey family and have loved hockey my whole life. You played here for the Kings for a little bit. But when we were pitched having you on, this was the pitch. Hey, Sean Avery wrote a book. And my first comment was, what a dick. But it's perfect because that's who you were. But then reading the book, it's all about how that was your persona. That's what you did when you got on the ice. So would you say that's true?
Yeah, I mean, I think having you say what a dick is much better than saying who.
That's true, yeah. You also said you're the most famous third liner in history.
I sold more books than John Grisham in Canada yesterday.
So what?
I think that...
that's the best stat ever,
right?
You know, I think that my persona and the way that I played the game was exactly what I needed to do to make the transition out of hockey, which I always realized was either a hit away or it was a day away no matter what. Every day you were a day closer to not being able to play. And I was lucky enough to play in L.A. and New York, two markets that, you know, you can see that there's life after sport. And I think that's what I was conscious of every single time I went on the ice, and I tried to weave it into being an effective player.
But don't you think that your style of play and you agitating people so much and getting in so many fights, don't you think that limited your career as well? Couldn't you have played longer if you didn't have that style of play?
I could have played longer, and then I think I would have been delaying the inevitable, which is you play longer and it puts you out of touch with being able to enjoy and transition for the next, hopefully, 60 years of your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And hopefully 60 of those, potentially another 30 of those are working years.
Right.
So, you know, what it does is it delays what I think is even more important, the second half of your life. Mm-hmm. You know, when it becomes real life, when family starts to become a more integral part, where, you know, you just start to enjoy life more. The 20s went by quick. I was playing hard. I was playing in great cities. I don't remember much of it. There was a lot of fights. There was a lot of, you know, trouble. But I think when I look at it, I left at the perfect time.
I would like to say, and I don't want to ruin the interview, that I'm an LA Kings fan. I didn't like you.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, as long as that's cool.
Yeah. No, that's of course. Of course it is. I think that there's that when I got to New York, there's not many New York Ranger fans that don't like me.
All right.
See? Give and take. I did wonder as I was reading the book when you chose to live in the Hollywood Hills as opposed to Manhattan Beach, where I think 99.9% of players for the Kings live and usually live out the rest of their lives. If that was kind of the catalyst for everything that you then did, whether it's interning for Vogue, whether it's now looking into being an actor, did that change things for you, making that one choice?
I think that was the first choice of a long list of choices outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
I think that kind of set in stone that I wasn't going to do things the same way as all the rest of the hockey players. And it just kind of carried on. Whether when I got to New York and was the first guy to live in Tribeca, and then I ended up opening a couple of restaurants in Tribeca, and now every player on the Rangers lives in Tribeca. I mean, yeah, that was the stepping stone. And I don't think at that point I was thinking about it. I moved to Laurel Canyon because I had a fascination with Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young and Joni Mitchell, and
right?
I was like trying to relive the 70s.
Did you ever go to that restaurant right there in the canyon that Jim Morrison lived across from?
So Pache, good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a well-known secret in Laurel Canyon. Mm-hmm. They deliver to Laurel Canyon.
Yeah. Really great bread balls. just so everybody knows.
That's a good tip.
Good tip, everybody.
That's a good tip there. Sean, I wanted to ask you about, you're the only player that I think the NHL changed the rules for during the playoffs. Is that correct?
They did, yeah.
The Avery rule.
I went to bed after screening Marty Brodeur from the Devils, who obviously New York and New Jersey have had a long history together.
And you were
facing each other.
You were facing him, which is odd.
Yep.
You got to face him when you're taunting him about sleeping with his sister-in-law.
Sister-in-law, brother's sister, wife. I don't know.
Just too close. It was too close. But you were essentially, you were taunting him. Your back is away from the play, but you're also waving your stick
in front of his face.
Yeah, well, the idea of screening a goalie is sort of, we do it backwards in hockey. We screen the goalie with our back.
Right.
So they just look around us, and that kind of eliminates the screen. So I said, you know, I don't get this. So I'm going to go out there, and every time he moved right, I moved my hand left. And every time he moved left, I moved my hand right. And I could just see that his eyeballs started to turn red. Really started to turn red.
And then they actually changed the rule.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, it became a minor, didn't it?
It became a minor penalty. Yeah.
That's Well, you are a dick.
Right?
That is excellent.
Yeah. Right? All the behind the scenes of Sean Avery's career. I know you got to go. It's called Ice Capades, a memoir of fast living and tough hockey. And it's available now. And thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Bye now. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54. Got a great hour coming up ahead. We're going to talk sports with Jim Rome. And then we've got Tobin Bell from Jigsaw coming into the studio.
Because he's Tobin Bell. Tobin Bell.
He might be surprised to have his own theme song. Ralph's here now for a look at the Showbiz Beat.
Sure.
Ralph's here now with a look at the Showbiz Beat.
Me too.
We live in a strange time,
ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
With all of these stories now who are finally coming to light about sexual harassment, and especially in Hollywood with the Harvey Weinstein story, and now there's this this agent from APA agency who was representing young boys, and they found out he was sexually assaulting them, and director, writer James Toback, there is a dam has broken. And these largely women are able to tell their stories of sexual harassment and rape and made to feel powerless and small in their professional capacities. That is just unforgivable and disgusting, and we all need to acknowledge that and work on that. That being said, it also creates a very strange climate for comedy and for making jokes, because there are jokes to be made. We're still human beings, and we're still sexual beings. There's jokes to be made about sex and flirting and people who are hot and we're attracted to. That still exists. That hasn't gone away just because all these bad things have happened. So I think the interesting conversation that's going to have to be had and will be hard to navigate is, where's that line? How do you try to be funny using sexual content as the fodder for your jokes, and yet still not cross the line and become disrespectful or insensitive to what's happening in the world? Does this make any sense?
Yeah, that does make sense.
The reason I bring it up is this story I want to talk about, and we can use this as an example, and we'll see which side of the story we come down on.
Okay.
Ellen DeGeneres is getting slammed for a tweet that she sent out yesterday. It was to celebrate Katy Perry's birthday. And the tweet was, "Happy birthday at Katy Perry. It's time to bring out the big balloons." And the photo was of Ellen and her girlfriend, Portia de Rossi, her wife, and Katy Perry all together taking a photo. And Ellen is looking down at Katy Perry's boobs and has this big comical, like, oh my God face.
Right.
That she was actually mugging for the camera.
Right.
That picture came along with that tweet.
Okay.
People are coming out of the woodwork to slam her down. They're saying it's a double standard. If a man had posted that tweet, he would have been pilloried. He would have been crucified in the public eye. People are calling her a pig, saying the world would stop if a man had done that. She's sexist, inappropriate, betraying women. I mean, she's really taken a lot of heat in social media because of this joke.
I mean, to me, it's...
Is that a fair cop? Has she had a line? Is that inappropriate? Is that something she should not have done?
to me, that seems like she had a relationship with her, at least a professional one, where Katy Perry was on her show, right? That where the picture came from?
It actually looks like it was at a cocktail
bar. Yeah,
it looks like an awards ceremony.
Okay, so
after dinner thing or something.
If she knew her and she thought that Katy would find that funny, you don't know. I think you have to wait for Katy Perry to say.
That's what I'm saying. Should we allow the person to be offended on their own terms, or do we have to step in and protect them?
I think
I don't have the answers to any of this. I'm just saying it's a very tricky climate now for trying to make a joke, to make a boob joke. Which, in some cases, is just that. And it's sort of an innocuous boob joke.
Right.
And sometimes it's creepy and piggish and inappropriate and harassment.
But I think if a girl says no, that's it. But I'm not positive about before a girl says no. That's a difficult one.
What do you think,
Allie?
I remember when Katy Perry wore that mint green dress for the Grammys.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat in my living room and I went, holy cow, those are some knockers, because her boobs looked amazing in that dress.
Right. But can we say that now? Can we talk about her
if
knockers?
If I saw Katy Perry in that dress, I'd be like, if I had those, I'd wear that dress every day.
Right.
So was Ellen's tweet bad?
I don't think so. I think they've got a relationship.
I don't either.
But I guess the final analysis has to be, would Katy Perry take offense to it or not,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, and if
and
she
I don't
would,
get the sense that she would.
No.
So I think...
But what if I made that tweet? What if I said, hey, Katy Perry, love those birthday balloons, and I show a picture of Katy Perry and her boobs? Then I'm being a pig, right?
Well, you're gross.
Well, that's besides
that
the point.
That is disgusting.
She wouldn't see it, though, so we would never know.
Well, that's right. But other people would, and then would they attack me, and would they be right? Or am I just a goofy guy from the radio making a joke about somebody's boobs? This is what I'm telling you. We're living in it's a weird climate.
It
right
is
now.
A weird, difficult climate. That's true.
Especially for people who try to make jokes. Because you can easily offend someone without even being really offensive. Or certainly without that not being the intent. My intent, if I make a Katy Perry boob joke, it's not to make Katy Perry feel attacked or to harass her sexually in any way. I'm just trying to get people to laugh about something.
Well, right? And if she's wearing the dress that Allie was describing, where she's pretty much saying to the world, hey, look at these. You know what I mean? Like,
no,
that makes
so
a
Kevin's
difference.
Saying she asked for it.
See?
No, no, no. What
no.
a dick. Oh, you
that's
are the worst.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying.
Boycott Kevin.
That should happen for a lot of other reasons, but not this one.
We're in a very different time now.
It's difficult waters to navigate, quite frankly.
I feel like maybe everybody...
So I'm going to err on the side of just offending everyone. Just make sure
that is a choice.
I'm going to carpet bomb people with offensiveness.
I feel like everybody should hold off and wait and see if Katy Perry finds it funny or not. Don't jump in and I'm sure she got death threats because that's the new black on Twitter, but... I just feel like...
Why is it going to be black?
Kevin's racist.
Here's how I gauge whether something's really offensive or not. I look at who's offended. Some of the people attacking Ellen DeGeneres, Piers Morgan and Michael Rappaport.
Okay.
So, all right.
I think she's fine.
All right.
Yeah. I think she's safe.
All right.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend. Today's celebrity birthdays. Hillary Clinton is 70 years old today. Dylan McDermott is 56 years old. Carrie Elwes is 55. Tom Cavanaugh. I miss him over there, Flash. Hope he comes back this season soon. 54 years old today. My sometime boss and always friend, Seth MacFarlane, is 44 years old today. New Orville, by the way, tonight. If you want to honor Seth's birthday, you can watch the Orville tonight. John Heder is 40.
Tina, come get some ham.
Napoleon and Dynamite himself. And
come on, Alex.
CM Punk is there.
Allie sucks! Allie sucks!
I agree with that.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I love Thursday mornings because we always get to talk with Jim Rome, who does his show from 9 to noon. You can find it at jimrome.com. Welcome, Jim. Welcome to the show.
Kevin, good morning. What's going on?
Well, I mean, I assume we have to start with baseball and the Dodgers in the World Series.
You don't have to do anything at all. You can start with whatever you want.
I'm not a huge baseball fan. That was a great game.
That was awesome. Even Dodger fans rolling out of the rack this morning, hungover or still drunk, have to admit that that was one of the best games ever. I don't care what you paid to get into that stadium. You got your money's worth. If you watched at home, your TV paid for itself last night. If you hate baseball like you do, Kevin, it doesn't matter. That had everything except a Dodger win. That was awesome.
I almost can't even be mad at it. Like, I can because they lost. But a part of me is like, you know what? You just saw one of the best baseball games ever. Let
hey,
it
Allie.
Go.
Oh, hey, Allie, what's up?
Hey,
don't
Jim.
Hate. Don't hate. Don't hate.
Right?
Don't hate. It was awesome. And
right?
You know what? The longer the series, the better. It's going to be a long series. And the one thing about the Astros, if you knew anything about them, you know, one, they're tough as hell. And two, they're a juggernaut offensively. These guys were five outs away from being down 2-0. And then they would have been in real trouble. If both their aces get beat and you have to beat L.A. 4 out of 5 times, that's probably not happening. So when you get a boot on their throat, Allie, you finish them, you choke them out, and the Dodgers didn't do it, and it came back to bite them right in the ass.
But having said that, you're always curious how your team's going to react when they fall behind. And they could have sort of given up, and the Dodgers really fought all the way to the end and almost tied it again. I mean, they really handled it well.
No, they did. They did. They were not looking for a place to lie down, but the Astros especially, because again, if you fall behind 2-0, and you've got to win 4 out of 5, that's not going to happen. But the thing about Houston is, and again, some Dodger fans are saying, what about Dave Roberts? How did he lose that game? Houston did more to win that game than the Dodgers did to lose that game. They are a laser show offensively. And once they get into that rhythm, well, for the Dodgers, it was time to die.
Time to die.
I just wanted to see if Alvin's sound archive library still works.
He's on it.
It works. Good job, Alvin.
He's on it. Before the series, they were talking about the Dodger bullpen, and then at one point in the night, they showed that they had zero people left to pitch. How does that happen?
Well, Dave Roberts went to the bullpen, I think, a little bit earlier than he wanted to. Like, for instance, Rich Hill pitched 4 pretty good innings, and all of a sudden, Dave Roberts got him out. But see, that's the rap again. What's this guy doing? Why is he burning through his bullpen? When you have the best bullpen in baseball, you want to use that bullpen. They had 28 scoreless innings in the postseason. You want to use that bullpen. And finally, when they had a lead after 8 innings this year, they were 98-0. It came back to bite them yesterday. But you got to tip your hat once in a while. Tip your hat to the other guy.
Does it change now the rotation that the Dodgers are thinking about when they go to Houston? Does Kershaw pitch earlier or do they wait the normal amount?
No,
he doesn't.
Status quo, stay the course. It's only one game. They're tied up at 1 game apiece. That's not going to mess with them. Now, they went further into their bullpen than they wanted to and maybe had Kenley Jansen make more pitches than he wanted to. See, that was the big thing. They've never asked him to get a 6-out save, and they did so yesterday, and he got up on Marwin Gonzalez 0-2. Make that one pitch, they get out, and we're not having this conversation. So let's not overreact. It's not going to change the rotation. They're still in a pretty good spot, just not nearly as good a spot as they could have been in.
How many games do you see them winning in Houston?
I think that it's a 7-game series.
You do.
I have stopped short of giving a prediction, but I think that LA is going to find a way to get it done, and I think it's going to be 7.
A lot of people were picking 6 games, but I think that was before last night, before they lost last night. And
yes.
Maybe they go, okay, let's not do 6. Let's go 7 games for that one.
Hey, more is better.
I got to tell you.
Longer is better.
I don't love baseball, and I loved watching that game last
night. You're just going to let that go?
It was really good.
Guys, don't hate. Don't hate.
I mean, okay. I love
you. You live in L.A. You work in L.A. That's your team.
I love the game.
You've been there 3 decades. Come on, Kevin.
I love the game.
Come on, man. Don't be like that.
I loved the game.
Good.
I don't think you're clear. What are you saying?
Good.
All right. Let's change it to basketball. Let's talk about
how'd you feel about that game last night?
I loved it.
Good. Just checking.
He wasn't sure if he meant the Lakers.
Yeah, what happened?
I saw his face just go blank.
Dude, hit that with some coffee or something. Come on.
Seriously.
I just want to make sure that you liked that game last night.
To watch it happen, Jim. That was something.
But I was like, what? Oh, no, I didn't watch the Laker game. Is that what he's talking about?
No, that's not what he's talking about.
That's what went through my head. I need some caffeine.
I wouldn't do that to you, bro.
All right, let's talk about Lonzo Ball.
Let's talk about Lonzo Ball. Why don't
Smooth.
We do that, Kevin?
Smooth.
All right, so I can handle this
come
for
on,
you.
Man.
So you got
good Lord.
So Lonzo's got this. Come on now.
Come on now.
Apology accepted.
Okay.
So Lonzo's got this old man named LeVar, and LeVar likes to run his mouth about his kid.
Right.
And did so again coming into this game against Washington, where he said he's not going to lose twice in 1 week. Wizards big man Marcin Gortat saw that and said that John Wall would, quote, torture him for 48 minutes. Which is what many people expected, but that's not what happened. He did not abuse Lonzo. Wall did not win, and something really funny happened along the way. While LeVar continues to piss everybody off outside that locker room, he has somehow managed to galvanize everybody in it. They literally showed up and had their guys back, and they played better because of it. So he not only is not the worst dad ever, he might actually be one of the better dads.
Is that right?
I'm saying, show me the lie. He's been right about everything.
But he's so obnoxious.
But,
yes and yes.
But
you're both right.
But,
yes, yes. Yeah, you're right. Yes and yes.
And
the thing is, the guy, look, he loves his kid. He's about his kid. Look, by the way, it's a great kid who went second overall in the draft. He must have done something right. He's a pretty good dad. But the fact is, Luke Walton said after that game, we haven't shown up like that before. And the reason they showed up and showed out like that is because the other guys were coming for their guy, and they were coming for their guy because the old man kept running his mouth again. He's bringing people together. Never thought that I would see it, but he is.
Wow. And he should be the new coach of the Lakers? Is that what you're saying?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
I don't know. That's what I
heard. That is not what I'm saying.
Kevin, I heard him say that.
Right? Wow. That's what I thought he said as well.
Dude, that's not what I said.
You can listen to Jim.
I didn't think it. I didn't say it. Yeah. I'm not a narc. Stop.
Wait, let's tackle that. Hold up.
We don't have much time, but you're a narc.
Jim, we're running ads where you're like, please bring back your drugs for me.
You know what I am? You know what I am? And you should. This is for you, Allie, I think.
Okay.
I'm a guy who's trying to keep prescription drugs out of the wrong hands and stop the devastation of drug abuse and overdose.
Okay.
That's the guy that I am. Do I look like a narc? No. I'm here to help. Now, Sanchez, he's a narc.
Okay. All right. I'm
That's
with you on
guy. That's the guy.
That's the guy we need to worry about?
Yes. Yes, I'm all trying to help. Sanchez is a narc.
So we bring all our pills to you, Jim. Then what do you do with them?
I give them to the DEA.
Sure.
I dispose of them.
So you're working with the DEA.
You're a narc.
That's a
by
narc.
By definition.
Hopefully you... What is the matter with the two of you today?
You're a narc.
Clean out your medicine cabinet. Drop off your unused, unwanted, or expired medications at a collection site near you. Or drop them off with me. Stop. Grow
right.
up.
Jim's
on, Jim.
A narc. Jim's a narc.
Wow. Wow. See you losers never again.
Check out the Jim Rome Show at jimrome.com from 9 to noon. Plus, you can follow him on Twitter at Jim Rome. And his podcast is excellent. It's called the Jim Rome Podcast. And you can get it on iTunes or Google Play every Tuesday. Jim, you're the best. Thanks for coming on.
Still love you.
We welcome to the studios Tobin Bell, the star of Jigsaw.
Good morning. Matt.
How are you?
Whoa.
That voice.
Very, very, very well, very well.
Come on.
Christine just jumped, by the way.
Just, come on.
I'm going to stand over here, you guys.
Christine's one of my new friends.
Oh, my God.
Christine, why don't you tell Mr. Bell the first time you saw his movie that you were tricked into seeing?
Okay. So my friends Lauren and Trevor and Tim have a horror movie night. I don't watch scary movies as a rule. This is not my thing. And they got me in first by watching Jaws one week. I thought, oh, I can handle this. This is kind of cool. The second time they invited me was for Shaun of the Dead. They thought, you could totally handle this.
Like, got a sense of humor about it.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. I can do that movie. We get there. The DVD's not playing. And they say, well, I guess we're just going to have to watch Saw then. So you was tricked. Yeah, I mean, yeah, pressured. More peer pressure than anything else. And I think I've never been the same.
Well, that was our first date, Christine.
Oh, my God.
She's jumping.
And now look how close we are.
Right?
Oh, my God. She walked in between segments when you first got here, and she's like, I don't know. He's one of the nicest men ever. It's totally changed me. But now you're back. It's just getting a whole
nother
circle.
It's that voice. It's the voice.
Yeah. Back to being scared. We were talking when you came in, Yankees fan.
Yes.
That's pretty, that's tough.
Well,
especially for the city.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah. Well, I'm an American League guy because I grew up in Massachusetts.
How are you not a Red Sox fan? I mean, come on now.
I lived in New York for 39 years and I went through the Billy Martin years and the New York Post was covered with the drama of George Steinbrenner and Yankee Stadium and Chris Chambliss and Greg Nettles,
those
Reggie
were some
Jackson.
Amazing days.
That was the years that that Billy pulled Reggie out of right field into the dugout and pulled him out of the game for not hustling enough, and there was all kinds of drama going on. And George Steinbrenner was the biggest drummer of drama,
right?
And they were great Yankee years.
Yeah,
147 pound guy on the mound named Ron Guidry, and
sure.
So
I cop to, you know, to all of my Massachusetts friends who give me a hard time about my switching to becoming a Yankee fan. And although I would have liked them to win this year, they came back against Cleveland, and they had a great series against Houston. And I'm rooting for the city of Houston at the moment.
Oh.
Even
what
though here
happening?
I am in Los Angeles.
Wow.
Sorry, Christine just slapped me.
I mean, this has taken so many turns.
You can root for the city because it's had a hard time, but you can't root for the Astros.
All right, okay, I change it. Can we edit this?
You want to start?
That'll change completely.
Yes.
Christine, tell us how A-Rod was accepted at Dodger Stadium. Was it game one? Yes, game one of
game
the World
one.
Series.
Yeah. I would say he was not accepted. In every sporting event I've ever been into, my entire life I've ever seen, I'd never seen someone get heckled so hard than A-Rod at game one at Dodger Stadium.
Did you see that, Tobin, when you were watching?
No, I was at I hadn't I was actually where the hell was I? Was this game?
Matter.
This was game
let me
one. Right?
Where were you? On Tuesday?
This was game one.
Yeah, it was Tuesday night.
I didn't see any of that.
Well, Christine was right by A-Rod.
I know, she told me.
And boy, the Dodger fans were not being so kind to him.
You know who they did love? Dave
Poppy.
Ortiz.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know, not to change the subject to a Saw movie, but you reap what you sow.
Oh,
right?
God. See, again.
Hey, if you don't
again.
Mind, if you don't mind, would you look at Christine when you say that?
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Yeah. Right. I adore Christine.
She's adorable. Yeah.
She goes by different rules.
She does.
Oh,
that's
no.
True. Toby Bell is here. Don't leave. Jigsaw is out tomorrow, and we're going to talk a lot more about that when we get. Tobin Bell is in studio. Christine is now left. Oddly enough.
I feel naked without her.
She got real nervous.
She got a little scared, and she walked out. I would like Allie now to repeat what happened when Tobin walked into the room.
My butthole puckered. I immediately just got nervous.
I'm writing that line down.
Feel free. Right, it is now yours. Yeah. But you terrify people, sir.
Boy, thank you.
And you're
much.
Such a lovely man that I'm having a hard time with that. He's literally putting it
in
his phone.
Down. Yeah.
Good. I want to keep you confused.
Excellent.
Well, how do people react to you on the street? When they, I mean, I'm sure they either don't know you or are scared of you, one of the two.
They're always very, very friendly. But I can tell you a story about going into a bar late at night in Toronto one night, and I had gone out of the hotel. I wanted some food to go. There was no one in the bar except this little bartender behind the bar who was left there cleaning up. And I came in and I had thrown a hoodie on because it was cold. And I went up to the bar and I said, I'll have the Caesar salad with and she fled to the far end of the bar. And I said, no, wait, it's just a movie. It's a movie.
And I need a Caesar salad.
Yeah. Why'd you have to have a hoodie on, sir?
I took the hoodie off immediately.
But you still got the voice.
Yeah. We became fast friends, me and the bartender, over the next 3 weeks. and she foolishly developed some trust in me.
Oh no. Yeah.
We were talking off the air about certain types of people that gravitate towards your movies.
Even countries.
And yeah, you talked about certain occupations. Let's talk about that first.
Well, I can tell you every time I go through an airport, the TSA people are all over the Saw movies, both male and female.
They know them and love them. Is that right?
They love me. They go through my luggage with a fine-tooth comb.
I was going to ask, does that get you through quicker or does it take more time?
Sometimes I think it's about the same.
Okay.
You know, because as you know, the TSA people are very professional in what they do, and they would never let their feelings affect how they do their job.
But you've noticed that they all know the Saw franchise.
Oh yeah, absolutely. There are certain professions. Professional athletes are very much into the Saw films. Law enforcement people. I can be walking down the street in Santa Monica, and I'll have a squad car.
pull by me, and the windows come down. Hey, Jigsaw! Jigsaw! And when, you know, and there's certain, you know, the Japanese love horror and
right.
Sci-fi. And
you were saying England.
The UK, yeah. The UK is very much into
crazy
people
for
from
it.
Wales and Ireland come down to London to talk. Crazy for horror. I think the repressed nature of the British comes exploding out when it comes to a Saw film.
This is the eighth one. The first one you were telling us off the air. You did the first one and forgot about it and didn't even pay attention to when it came out.
No,
right?
I was not paying attention when Saw 1 was released. I was in the in Prague in the Czech Republic doing a TV series for NBC, and Saw 1 was released and did marvelously well, but I wasn't aware of it. And it was several weeks or a month or so later that I got a call that they were thinking about doing Saw 2. So none of us really, I don't think, expected to be where we are today, which,
yeah, no kidding.
Which is eight chapters down the road.
Saw did pretty good, money-wise.
And by pretty good.
Correct?
Pretty good internationally. Highest grossing horror film of all time. Guinness Book of World Records.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
There's a difference between success and Guinness Book of World Records. That's just crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And it has the eyes of the world on it for whatever reason. You know, I walk into a Starbucks in Tokyo and the guy's like, Jigsaw! I was like, I loved that. That was my favorite moment, I think, for playing that character, was how this guy...
He was so excited to
see his enthusiasm and the way he pronounced it. You know?
Do people recognize your voice when you call to order a pizza or whatever?
I don't use this voice.
Customer service.
I adore radio. So when I get in front of a microphone,
if I had that voice, I would use it all the time.
Funny you should mention that, Kevin. You have been lending your voice to the promos before Tobin Bell came in.
I don't think we need to.
Let's hear your Jigsaw for Mr. Bell.
Is that true that he's been doing that?
I mean, I've been trying.
All right. All right, you're on the griddle now.
It's not been good.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Do you want to play a game?
I mean, that's the best I got.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Christine, I think
it's cute.
Yeah,
it's
cute. Yeah. Did your butthole pucker?
It did. Yes. It actually
does
a lot.
For all the wrong reasons, though.
All right, let's talk about this Saw movie, Jigsaw, which comes out tomorrow. Here's the trailer for it. Then I have a few questions.
Now the game's simple. Best ones are.
Any identification on the victim?
There's a piece.
But Jigsaw has been dead for decades.
It's not him. Can't be.
This was on the body.
The truth will set you free.
The blood under the fingernails of our victim is John Kramer, the Jigsaw killer.
That's impossible.
No, it's not creepy at all.
All it's right. Impossible because he's dead. How can these murders be happening and be similar to Jigsaw's?
Because John Kramer died, and that's very confusing as to whether he's back or not. Any thoughts on that?
One of the things about Saw movies is that what you see is not necessarily what you get.
Mm. But what I heard... Was that voice? I heard that voice in the promo.
Right.
So you can neither confirm nor deny?
I can neither confirm nor deny without exposing a whole bunch of stuff that I don't really want to get into because it would spoil the experience for my loving fans. And not my fans, but the fans of the Saw story.
Yeah, it is a great series. A great series. There are so many bizarre ways that people get killed in these movies. Do any of them stick out to you, or this is just all a blur of however many years you've been doing it?
you know, I remember all of them.
You do?
I mean, but I remember them at different moments in time. People bring them up because, you know, I talk to fans all the time and they have, you know, I think about the needle pit and Saw 2 that Amanda had to deal with. I like the traps, the mechanisms that deal with people's karma. And in that case, Amanda being a junkie, that needle pit was a metaphor for her struggle and suffering, you know.
So. Do you think that's part of the draw, is that this is in response to these people's bad karma for pretty much everyone?
Yes, I think that the Saw films make people think. And when you surround some of the concepts that get expressed in these films with the kind of chaos and violence in the film, and then all of a sudden something will get said like that has to do with appreciating your life and mm-hmm. having gratitude, or something about the liars and the hypocrites in the world, it resonates in people's minds.
I'm just going to say, I have not taken a bath nor a train since your movie, so I hope you're proud of yourself, sir.
I am. Thank you very much. I'm glad to hear that I've got a lot to do with your hygiene.
Thank you.
Yeah, we don't seem to be able to get off that subject.
I mean,
right?
Shower. Yeah. I shower. I'm not conducting electricity in the bath.
All right.
That's all I'm saying.
She's just being very careful. Uh-huh. Tobin, we really appreciate you coming in today. We really do love the Saw movies. And Jigsaw opens everywhere tomorrow. And go see it. You'll love it. Tobin, thank you for coming in. We appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Happy New Year. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Dr. Drew coming up in about a half hour. And next, we've got some Stan Lee L.A. Comic-Con tickets. What do people look for, Ralph?
I mean,
take two.
Wow.
What are you looking for in contestants?
Here's what we're going to do. Giving away a pair of 3-day passes for the Stan Lee LA Comic Con down at the Convention Center all weekend long. I want to give it to 5 true geeks, nerds, my people. So what we're going to do is play a little game, and you need to know about the history of comic book TV and movies. Mm-hmm. Okay? You need to know about the history of comic book TV shows and movies. We're going to be reaching back. If you're just up on the current stuff, you're not going to fare well in this game. So you have to know about the history of comic book TV shows and movies.
Yeah, like Ginkgo Biloba Man.
You have to be an expert.
Yeah, right,
like Ginkgo Biloba Man.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
From
yesterday.
It.
So if you have a pretty good grasp of the TV shows and comic book history in movies and TV shows, then give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. We'll play the game just after the top of the hour. Meantime, while we're talking about things to do this weekend, I do want to remind folks, a movie that I've seen and I recommend highly is having its one and only L.A. screening this weekend. It's called Everybody Has an Andy Dick Story. And it's so funny. It's just people recounting their run-ins with Andy Dick. And if you know anything about Los Angeles, man, everybody has an Andy Dick story. Many of them were made right here in this studio,
Correct. Actually.
In fact, Mike Catherwood talks about his run-in with Andy on the Kevin and Bean Show. Dr. Drew's in this. Jim Jeffries is awesome in this. Ben Stiller, of course. Vicki Lewis. Kate Flannery. Matt Sorum from Velvet Revolver and Guns N' Roses actually bought Andy's house. Got him drunk and lowballed him. And bought
no.
his house. Yes.
Really? Talked him into taking less money?
It's a great story.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So if you want to see it, it's all happening at the Improv in Hollywood on Melrose on Sunday night. You can go to improv.com to get details, or go to everybodyhasanandydickstory.com. And in fact, I think they're having a game. If you tell them your favorite Andy Dick performance in a movie or TV show, I think they're giving away a pair of tickets. So check it out. It's very funny, and I recommend it highly. It's a very funny movie. All right, let's talk about Alex Rodriguez and Jennifer Lopez. Looks like they're headed towards the altar.
Huh.
Is that right?
This would be the 4th marriage for Jennifer Lopez. That's guts. That's courage.
It really is.
If I had 3 failed marriages behind me, I would be hard-pressed to take that step again. Is that just blind romance? Do you just believe?
You believe in love, yeah.
Yeah.
You just, it's hope springs eternal, and you think those others, that was all BS. But this time, it's real.
We should take calls from listeners who have been married at least three times.
Multiple marriages. Yeah. That's a fascinating dynamic for me. That mindset is unique.
I think that if you're young and you get married, that's your starter marriage. It's whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next one, you
say, I learned my lessons.
I learned my lesson.
Now I'm much better at this.
But then those people, the divorce rate is so high.
Then that fails.
That's done.
Right.
So three is it. This is what?
Fourth. This will
okay.
be the fourth.
See, that's...
If they get married, this will be number four
for
Jennifer
one more
Lopez.
Than I was ready to accept.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to give three a pass.
And he's got... doesn't he have a marriage under his belt as well?
I don't know.
Alex Rodriguez, or has he always been single?
I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, looks like they're buying a house, or at least a big apartment in Manhattan. They're going to buy a New York place. She's already got a place out here. But folks around them already saying it, when it happens, and it looks like it will be the wedding of the decade.
Mm-hmm. Will it?
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're
famous friends. They are both mm-hmm. super famous.
Yeah, he was married once before.
I think he's got kids, because I think they're looking for a place to fit all their kids.
Natasha and Ella.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
They're looking apparently at a 3-day affair in the Hamptons for their wedding. That's the thing. They're shooting for spring. And it's going to be one of those location weddings where you go there and you do like 3 days worth of stuff. Like 3-legged sack races. And,
I don't
like,
think that's what they're planning.
Put an egg on a spoon and you have to race with it. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of activities.
It's
and
very
fun,
different activities.
Fun
like summer camp stuff.
Yes, exactly. Make lanyards. It's going to be a great wedding and everyone's going to have a really good time.
Play Steal the Flag.
Exactly. Now you're getting it, Kevin. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Speaking of superhero movies and TV shows, Tom Cavanaugh, our buddy from The Flash, celebrates his birthday today. He's 54. I mentioned last week that I missed him on that show. Apparently, in this week's episode, he returns. I haven't seen it yet.
Fantastic.
I got DVR, but I haven't seen it yet. So.
Just running backwards.
He doesn't run backwards, Allie.
He's Reverse Flash.
He's 54 years old today. Carrie Elwes, who was in the very first Saw movie, starring our brand new friend, Tobin Bell.
Who's the nicest person
why'd
in the world.
Why'd you cut him off mid-conversation?
Yeah, why'd you hang up on him live?
I did start commercials while he was talking, and I felt bad.
As you were watching his lips move.
How did you not know he was done? He was talking to you.
I don't know, Ralph.
Literally watching his lips move.
And then, might have to revisit that.
So
moment.
Then I hit the commercial, and then I immediately walked over and said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to play commercials while you were talking.
I but usually just do that to Paul McCartney
on the
and
phone.
Bono.
But on the phone, you can understand.
The sum above difference is the silver lining.
Anyway, Carrie Elwes is 55 years old today. Dylan McDermott's 56. Hillary Clinton is 70. Seth MacFarlane, 44 years old today. Happy birthday, buddy. John Heder.
Heder, come get some ham.
Come on, Alex. That's funny every time.
No.
What do you mean, no?
You guys,
listen again.
Okay.
Listen one more time.
Tina, come get some ham.
You're allowed to say that movie sucked. You're allowed to say
it. No, you're not, because it doesn't.
It sucked.
You ever see Blades of Fire? With him and Will
Glory, yeah.
Blades of Glory.
Oh,
really.
Yeah.
Will Ferrell and him, they both played dance ice skaters.
Yes.
Oh, it's a
loved
funny
it.
Film. Yeah. Almost as funny as Napoleon Dynamite.
Tina, come get some ham.
And MC Punk is 39 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Right now we're giving away tickets to Stan Lee's L.A. Comic-Con. Ralph, what are we doing here?
What are we doing here? Well, we've got 5 pairs of passes, 3-day passes, to Stan Lee's L.A. Comic-Con at the L.A. Convention Center this weekend. I want to remind folks, I will be there on hand Saturday, along with Kevin Smith. We are hosting a panel that is a tribute to the late, great Adam West. We're going to have Burt Ward and Julie Newmar and Lee Merriweather on hand as well. And then there's also some of the top names in comic art have done Batman art specifically for an auction we're doing on Saturday to raise money for the St. Jude Children's Hospital. That's going to be in Adam West's name. We're doing a special art auction. That's all Saturday. But great stuff happening all weekend long. And to give away these passes, I wanted to give it away to somebody who really knew their stuff when it came to superheroes. So we're going to reach back in the history of comic book TV shows and movies, and I am going to name for you some actors who played a particular comic book character. I'll name the actors. All you need to do is name the character that they played. Now, it may not be the big star that's currently playing that character. Maybe somebody in the past. It's going to be a little bit tougher, so you need to know your history about acting heroes.
They, Kevin and me.
Kevin. Right.
And you.
You.
Heroes are.
not that easy. It's going to be a little bit different.
Just if you play.
No, you have to be right. You can't just play.
It's acting heroes.
Right. They're acting heroes.
It's time to play.
These are all actors who have portrayed superheroes. I'll name a couple actors. You name the superhero. Just that simple.
What if they need me as a lifeline?
Then they can go to you.
Okay.
If Ginkgo Biloba Man comes up, then
Hang up on him if that's the case. Alan and Carson, welcome to the Kevin DeVine Show.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Alan. I'm going to name for you a couple actors who played a superhero. You need to identify the hero. Here we go. Kathy Lee Crosby and Linda Carter.
Wonder Woman and...
They both played Wonder Woman.
Good enough.
Okay. It's acting heroes.
Yeah, I'll name a couple actors who played the same superhero in the past, and you need to name that superhero.
By the way, we have five pair? Is that correct?
We have five pair, yeah.
Okay, so Alan, you won.
Win
your engines.
Yeah.
Nice.
Hold on, Al. We'll give you all the details.
Looking forward to this name.
Let's go to Arnolfo. Arnolfo.
Here I am.
How do you say your name?
Arnolfo.
Same thing.
Oh,
thank you.
Thank you.
I'll accept your apologies now. No.
Don't worry about it.
Arnolfo, are you underground? Have you been buried alive? Can we send help?
No, I'm on speaker because I'm watching the dog.
Because you're watching a dog.
He's washing the dog.
Oh, washing.
Which I believe is code.
Yeah, really.
I'm washing my brother's dog, so.
Okay. I'm going to name you a couple actors who have played a superhero in the past. You need to name that superhero.
All right, go ahead.
All right. Nicholas Hammond and Andrew Garfield.
Spider-Man's
correct.
It's acting heroes.
Good luck with washing your dog. And congratulations.
His brother's dog.
And you're going.
Right.
Nicholas Hammond played Spider-Man the TV series in the 70s. You ever see that series?
I did not.
Oh, it's spectacular.
No.
You can see, like, the cable pulling the guy up the wall when he's walking
up the
really?
Wall.
Oh, really? Yeah, it's good stuff.
Does whatever a spider can.
No, stop it.
Okay. Diana and Van Nuys, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Here.
Hi.
I'm here. I'm ready.
Ready, Diana? I'm going to name you a couple actors from the past who have played a superhero. You need to identify the hero. Here we go. Kirk Allen and George Reeves.
Can you repeat that?
Yes. Kirk Allen and George Reeves.
Superman.
Superman is correct.
It's acting heroes.
Nicely done. You win.
You got 3-day passes to the Stanley LA Comic Con.
Thank you.
Allie looks just blanked over. You don't recognize any of those names? Kirk Allen played Superman in the old 40s movie serials.
Right. Christopher Reeves,
but
I know.
George Reeves was the TV Superman for many years, and then Christopher Reeve took on in the movies.
It was his brother.
It was not his
really?
Brother. No relation. There's an S and no S. Stop muddying the waters.
Let's go to Joel and Pasadena.
We're 3-for-3, by the way. I just
not
want
bad.
You know.
You are
my
correct.
People. 3-for-3. Joel.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hi.
All right, here you go. I'm going to name a couple actors who played the same superhero in the past. You identify the hero. Here we go. Matt Salinger and Reb Brown.
Oh,
geez. Matt Salinger and Reb Brown.
Matt Salinger
and Reb Brown.
By the way, Allie's acting like she has it.
I know.
So after he guesses, we're going to go to Allie.
Absolutely, we're going to go to her.
All right, Joel.
Captain America?
Captain America's correct.
Yeah.
It's acting heroes.
I think we gave him just enough time to Google it.
To Google it,
that's
right?
What I'm guessing.
No.
Nah. You're going regardless.
You
Matt
win.
Salinger, by the way, son of...
J.D.
J.D. Salinger.
And that's why I was going to say Captain America,
no,
also Holden Caulfield.
No. J.D. Salinger, of course, Kevin, who wrote?
Killing in...
the name of?
Tibet.
Catcher in the Rye.
I don't
Catcher
know.
Catcher in the Rye, the name of that book. We're 4-for-4.
Shut up.
Here we go.
Sal.
The Sal is our fifth contestant. If he gets it right, we're done.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sweet.
These
no
are
pressure.
Actors in the past who have played a superhero. They both played the same superhero. I name the actors, you name the hero. It's just that simple. Here we go. Lewis Wilson and Robert Lowry. Lewis Wilson and Robert Lowry.
What is Chronic and Blunt Man?
Chronic and
I would watch that,
and
Sal.
I like that you formed it in a question as well.
No? Batman. They were the first two actors that ever played Batman in the movies back in the 40s.
Yeah. What are the names?
Their names are Lewis Wilson and Robert Lowry.
I'm going to need that for Jeopardy.
There you go.
All right.
Thank you.
Let's go to Carter and Tustin. Hi there.
What are you doing, nephews?
Hey, Carter. Name a couple actors from the past. You name the superhero. Oh. Eric Bana and Lou Ferrigno.
The Hulk.
That's right, the Hulk.
I actually knew that one.
I did.
Acting heroes.
You are all going to the L.A. Comic-Con, yeah. Stanley's L.A. Comic-Con this weekend at the L.A. Convention Center. Thanks for playing.
It's Acting Heroes.
Time for us to check in with Dr. Drew Pinsky. Hey, Dr. Drew.
Hey, guys.
How are you today?
I'm good. Well, I'm not. I've got a cough.
Yeah, right?
Uh-oh. Yes.
I was sick last week.
Mm-hmm.
Week before, yeah.
Oh, thank you.
The week before and last week. It was about 7 days I spent in bed.
Thank you.
And it was terrible.
Thank you.
I think you mean you're welcome because you gave it to him, Drew.
I mean, you're welcome.
So, you know, temperature, everything going on, and it sucked, and finally it sort of started fading, and now the cough is just as strong as it was, and everything else is gone.
This thing.
And Allie said, oh, yeah, that'll last for months.
I had it last year. Lasted for 3.5 months.
Kevin, Allie's not that healthy, let's be fair. That's a little bit different.
Just right. Between you and I.
Right
okay.
Here. I can hear both of you.
But, you know, this thing that is going around, and I've seen tons of people with this that you and I have, and I evidently transmitted to you just because we made out in the studio.
We have to stop kissing.
I know. Well, okay. At least if I told you no tongue, but whatever.
Well,
yeah,
that's how I roll.
Drew
it.
And I still have it too. And I don't know if you have this thing where it's like actually tender in your sort of tracheal area, like where your thyroid is. Is it tender there?
Yes, it is.
Oh, my God.
So how come that doesn't stop with everything else?
I don't know what I've been done some thinking about it. And I'm tempted to use steroids in people because it's sort of a remnant anti-inflammatory response.
I used... I finally talked them into giving me steroids near the end of being in bed for 6 days. Oh. I said, look, nothing's working. We don't know what it is. My white blood cell count was up. They knew it was some kind of, and so I said, give me the steroids. So I took the steroids and that knocked everything else out. Everything except for the cough.
Yeah. Did they leave you any kind of inhaler?
No.
That's what you would do, as a steroid inhaler. Though The risk of that, though, is sometimes it can impair your local immunity and sort of prolong the whole thing. And because we don't know what this is, my instinct is just to do nothing and wait it out. Ooh. And the horrible thing about these little mini epidemics we get of various kinds of viruses and whatnot is we don't really know what they are until after the fact. In 3 months, people will declare, it was a chlamydia, it was a mycoplasma, it was an H1N1, and, you know, or sort of, by that point, we're already on the downside.
I was frustrated by going to the doctor probably 3 times in that 6 days, and honestly, I feel like if it's not one of 3 or 4 huge things, it could be any of 1,000, and they don't know any more than you do.
Kevin, you're right, and it will get better by itself. It's just a question of how long.
Right.
Yeah.
So what is this cough that continues for months after everything else goes away?
It's typically called post-bronchitic bronchospasm, which means that your airways...
That's what I thought.
Your
yeah.
airways... and there's something weird about this one. Do you still cough? You're not short of breath. You're not wheezing. You
no.
just still bring up a bunch of stuff, right?
Some.
In the morning.
But mostly it's just a dry, scratchy throat cough.
The dry cough tends to be irritation of the airway. And the irritation of the airway persists after it's been infected and inflamed. And the steroid inhalers can really help with that, particularly if you have any kind of asthma, if you've ever had anything like that. And as you get older, Kevin, it tends to be more likely to happen.
I've never had asthma, but should I call my doctor and ask him for the inhaler?
Yeah, I think you should. I mean, given the fact that you responded so well to steroids and... what's the matter, Alex?
It's one more thing for him to lose.
Yeah. How dare you?
I mean, you're going to be like, anyone see my inhaler? Where's my puffer?
You know, Kevin likes sort of attending to his body. Have you noticed this?
What?
He likes having problems and having little procedures to go through.
I'm kind of a hypochondriac,
He's
right?
He's not really a hypochondriac.
Wait,
it's not that. He just likes attention and likes people doing things to him, right?
I don't at all.
You like people tending to your body.
At least it seems like he's always engaged that way. He's not a hypochondriac. Mm-hmm. He's tough, but he's always liking somebody and seeing doctors and stuff.
How dare you?
How dare you? Again, I want you to. You're welcome.
No more kissing.
Is it the rectal thermometer that you enjoy at your doctor?
Wow.
I enjoy that at my doctor and at home.
Oh, God.
So Drew's you're saying it now, Drew. I ran this idea by you maybe a couple of years ago, and you disagreed with it. But you've grown and you've learned.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
I find that gargling with vodka can help.
What a letdown.
I'm not kidding. That gargling with vodka because of the alcohol in it.
Yeah.
You gargle with it.
Yeah.
And never, ever swallow it. Don't be ridiculous.
Yeah, of
course. Just spit
not.
It back out.
Yeah.
But I'm saying.
I didn't need that chip.
I'm saying it kills some of the germs there. Yes.
Why not gargle with hydrogen peroxide or something else then?
Because it tastes bad.
Yeah. And I don't know that you're harming anything, but
okay.
I know no evidence that this worked. I'm sure I answered this the same way last time.
All right.
You
how about
this
if
up.
You try it then?
And sure.
Have you tried it?
I've not, but you don't have pharyngitis. The vodka you gargle only gets to the pharynx. And you right now have something down deep in your lungs,
so
at least at the tracheal level.
So not swallowing is my problem.
Yes, that's the problem.
You're going to need
not
that too, I guess.
Not aerosolizing it and aspirating it. They have aerosolized alcohol. Maybe you ought to go do that.
Now,
Kevin.
What's that?
You know, like they have vapes for pot. You can sort of vape your alcohol.
But I mean...
Maybe that's the answer here, man.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, you could be case number one, and I didn't recommend it.
Oh, good Lord. Hey, Drew, next time you come on, I just want to put this out there. I would like to talk to you about something that a lot of us suffer from during the playoffs.
What?
And that is the playoff poops. I get a nervous stomach, and I immediately think I have to poop. So we're going to tackle that and other tough issues.
We might.
In the meantime, I want you to get some Metamucil and add bulk to your diet, honey.
But it's a real thing, right? Playoff poops?
Nervous, yeah. Well, I mean, you have a real thing. It's we'll call it the Allie syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
But okay. And add some bulk to your diet. What other weird things do you have, Allie? Please.
Yeah, we don't have time for that, Drew.
Give me a call.
We don't have time for all that. You can follow Dr. Drew on Twitter at Dr. Drew. Also, Dr. Drew does Midday Live with Mike Catherwood Monday to Friday, noon to 3 at KABC. And he's got 17 podcasts. The last one is with Rob Corddry, who is one of our favorite people in the entire world.
Yes, me too.
And the app is Heal. So if I, Dr. Drew, if I get Heal, can I ask them to give me the inhaler?
Yes, have one of those guys
so
show
smart.
Up. They're excellent. I swear to God, they've seen tons of this. They're some of the people I'm talking to about this virus. Go to Heal. Just go schedule a visit. They're available 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. A board-certified doctor will show up at your house.
Or
if you set up right now before you're off the shift, they will show up.
And can I ask for them to also bring vodka?
Well, you can discuss this whole alcohol thing with them.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Drew. We appreciate your
beautiful.
Time.
Okay.
Okay. Bye now.
LNOC's alternative
rock. Any questions?
It's a world-famous K-Rock, the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:40. We have a giveaway here for a pair of one-day tickets to the Auto Club NHRA Finals at Auto Club Raceway at Pomona, November 9th through 12th. We'll take the first four callers right now, 1-800-520-1067. You call, the first four callers will win. Ralph is here now for a final look at the showbiz beat.
Any questions? Right?
Right.
Right?
Oh, is that tonight?
No, it's Saturday night. Saturday night. Have you seen the promo for it? It's great. Because, you know, what we're talking about is David S. Pumpkins, star of Saturday Night Live, that famous sketch where Kate McKinnon and Beck Bennett are in the elevator of death. It's one of these rides you go into, like, at Universal or Knott's Berry where they have all the scares.
Right.
It's 100 floors of horror. And they're in an elevator, and Kenan Thompson just keeps opening the door. And 73 out of the 100 floors are David S. Pumpkins and his B-boys just dancing and singing and stuff. And it's ridiculous, but America has embraced it. And so now they're doing an animated David S. Pumpkins Halloween special Saturday night, where Saturday night usually airs at 11:30. And then they're having a special SNL, like an hour-long SNL. Of famous Halloween sketches, I think, from the history of the show. So it's going to be Saturday night. But they did a promo, and Tom Hanks came back as David S. Pumpkins just to do the promo.
That's awesome.
With the boys, Bobby Monahan, Mikey Day, and him. And it's very funny. Here you go.
Thousand Hag, what's my name?
David S. Pumpkins. Happy Halloween. October 28th at 11:30 p.m. on NBC. On your TV.
I'm David Pumpkins. Any questions?
I don't know why that makes me laugh so much. I love David S. Pumpkins so much.
Look at Ralph. He's so tickled.
So
I'm so tickled.
Yep.
Scare the hell out of you. It's so ridiculous. It's my perfect kind of humor right there. Justin Bieber
He is, I see his new tat, by the way. See his new torso tat?
I did not, no.
Oh. He's completely covered now, his whole torso. And it's awful. It's like a bear and a tiger and a big eagle flying. It looks like prison tats gone wild. If there was such a show as that, it would be featured on. Anyway, he's got a new place, living in Beverly Hills. Oh, those people must be miserable.
Right.
This new place he's renting has been seen in a bunch of car commercials, a Call of Duty ad, pilot episode of a TV show. It's one of those places I guess they rent out for location shoots more than anyone really lives there. But he is renting it now. It's his new bachelor pad. It sets him back. What do you think? What do you think he's paying in rent? He didn't buy it. He's just renting it in
monthly?
Beverly Hills monthly, per month.
$15,000.
How big again?
Doesn't say here.
You're laughing because I'm way too low or too high?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Way too low.
It's Beverly Hills, Kevin. Come on.
Okay.
I'm just going to say $35,000.
Oh. $55,000 per month.
What?
In rent.
$55,000 for a single month.
Can you imagine writing a check every month for that amount and getting nothing back in return?
Wow.
Wow. He just has money to burn.
I hope he just goes through it all. It'd be great for him to end up destitute doing, like, just standard theater.
Stay in that house till it runs him dry.
Doing the David S. Pumpkins musical. Some dinner theater someplace. How's it hanging, A? Any questions, A?
How's it hanging? I'm David Pumpkins. And I'm going to scare the hell out of you. Any questions?
Back then it's like, yes, I have many questions. Are we supposed to know this character?
That part in that song, every time Ralph laughs like it's the first time he's heard it.
It's the best thing ever! All right. Hey, my nerds, my geeks, my people. This is good news for us. Vincent D'Onofrio has just announced he'll be back as Wilson Fisk, better known as Kingpin, for the third upcoming season of Daredevil. He was the main villain in season one. Then he just briefly appeared during season two. But now, apparently, he's getting out of jail.
Uh-oh.
He's going to be back to make things a living hell for Daredevil. Right?
See?
I see what you'll do.
Yeah. Neither Marvel nor Netflix has announced when season three will start, but we know we're going to get some Kingpin back in there, which is great because he was terrific in that first season.
I love Daredevil.
I don't know anything about it, Allie.
Did you watch it?
I watched Daredevil.
What?
Chip knows.
You know something about a comic book property? How is that possible?
Daredevil, and I'm going to tell you why I loved it.
Who airs it?
Netflix.
She watched it.
That's
not
nuts.
Possible.
It involves superheroes and comic book stuff.
I really liked it.
How is that possible?
I just really liked it.
Why did you even start? It's not even a thing that you would be interested in.
It has to be an actor.
Oh, because Charlie Cox was on Peaky Blinders or something?
No, because Detective Robert Gorin from Law & Order Criminal Intent. Also, one of my favorite actors from the first movie that I really cried to, Mystic Pizza, Vincent D'Onofrio, was in it. I love him so much.
He was the hamster, remember? Remember his musical number he did? He had that whole album of spoken word performances where he was a hamster on a wheel.
I'm a hamster, not a trapeze artist. I'm not a circus act. I'm a hamster. Am I in any way related to the wheel? I have nothing in common with wheels. Sure, I run on it sometimes, but if I don't, some jerk with a smelly hand will put me on it and try and spin the wheel. Try and teach me how to spin on it for the 100th time. I'm a hamster with a chip on my shoulder.
Any questions?
Remember, too, we had Karen Page come in.
Yes, but you never watched
but
anything.
But she was so delightful. Okay. And then she told the story about her real-life boyfriend, might be her husband now, who also was legally blind. So she had all of these, like, similarities to actual Karen Page. I just found it fascinating.
I'm David Pumpkins, and I'm going to
scare me love,
the
Daredevil.
Hell out of you. Any questions?
Allie was at first annoyed by that because she wanted to talk and then started dancing.
You can't not!
Yeah, it's impossible.
The best thing ever. Today's celebrity birthdays. Hillary Clinton is 70 years old today. Dylan McDermott's 56. Kerry Elwes is 55 years old. Tom Cavanaugh, Mr. Wells himself, 54 years old today. Seth MacFarlane turns 44. Brand new Orville tonight. Check it out. John Heater is 40 years old. And CM Punk, I said MC Punk last time. That's not correct. 39 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take her off on your drive home today. Listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour, a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning is Friday. That means we have the movie beat like we do. We have Keep It 100. We're going to talk to Judd Apatow. And we're going to talk to R.J. Bell in Las Vegas about for his picks for Week 8 of the NFL. We've got your final pair of tickets for Linkin Park and Friends, which is tomorrow night at the Hollywood Bowl. So that's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.